Chapter 16. Should have taken a taxi.
What's your plan exactly?
I say over the sound of the wind.
Huh?
Plan.
What is yours?
I yell directly into her ear.
I can't hear you,
she says back, obviously ignoring me. Funny, I can hear her. We're flying high over the buildings in Chelsea, my 2-inch heels dangling beneath me. Unfortunately, in my rush, I forgot to put on something a little more appropriate. Miri does a few circles over the massive convention center as she scouts a landing. When she sees a side entrance that appears empty, she nosedives toward the pavement and quickly lowers the broom to the ground. We topple onto the cement. I wish she'd learned to land this thing better. One day I'm going to break an arm for sure. This is obviously the worst plan she has ever had. We're in a sketchy part of the city, all the way on the west side. We could easily be mugged. By the time I regain my balance, Miri is already at the convention center's side door, chanting her open sesame spell. I hand her the broom and she props it against the brick wall. The door opens and Miri rushes inside. I am reluctant to follow.
There are going to be trainers here, I whisper. What are you going to do? How are you going to save the animals exactly?
I'm afraid to lose her, so I step inside.
Don't close the door, Miri tells me. In case we have to make a quick exit,
she explains. Not exactly encouraging words. Great. My heart speeds up as I enter the dark building. At least we have on our night vision helmets. I hurry to catch up with Miri, which isn't easy in these heels. Maybe tonight isn't the best time to break them in.
Roar!
A wild animal noise echoes through the room. I'm pretty sure that was a lion or a tiger. Very possibly a bear. Oh my. We both freeze.
Miri, this is not safe.
I hiss through a clenched jaw.
Don't worry. It'll be fine.
And that's when I see it. A massive lion licking her massive paw. And she sees us. I jump back about 20 feet before realizing she's in a cage. A locked cage. There are 2 lions in there, and they're both beige and maneless and lying in the corner. It's kind of sweet, actually. One of them is resting her leg against the other's leg. They're kind of cuddling. I wonder if they're sisters and...
Roar!
The cranky younger sister, obviously. I jump back about 10 feet. How secure is that lock?
Poor little lions,
Miri murmurs, tiptoeing toward the animals. Little?
See how claustrophobic they look in that tiny cage?
I grab her shoulder so she won't get any closer. I like my sister in one piece, and those lions look hungry. Fine, they look sleepy, but maybe that's just a trick.
We should start here,
she says, reaching into her satchel. I begin to panic.
Start what? Freeing them. What else?
That's it. She's losing it. I'm losing it. I shake her by the shoulder.
Are you insane? What are you going to do? Open the cages and set the sister lions loose on New York? They'll have us for appetizers and then chomp down all of Manhattan for the main course.
You know what? It smells in here. A lot like JFK after the cow invasion. She struggles to remove my hand from her shoulder.
Do you think I'm stupid? Manhattan is no place for them. I'm sending them home, where they can run free. Now, let me go.
I step back and take a good look at my angry, red-in-the-faced, disheveled-haired sister. She's definitely out of her mind. I think my entire family needs a vacation. She removes a Tupperware container from her satchel, opens it, then sets the spellbook in front of her and chants,
Be free of reins and drop your chains. By tomorrow's morn, you'll be back where you were born.
She tosses the concoction on them, and I feel the familiar rush of cold as I ask, "Can't you just get them to click their heels together 3 times? The 2 lions begin to fade. They get lighter and lighter, and then they're gone.
"Cool," Miri says.
I really hope they're not going to reappear behind me. I carefully turn my head. "Nope." I let out a long breath.
"Where do you think they went?"
"Duh, Africa." "Let's see who's next,"
Miri whispers. But she stops walking when she spots a trainer at the end of the room rattling about outside a cage.
"Wait for him to go,"
she whispers. We freeze, and I start to panic. What if we're caught? How would we explain the animal disappearances? Would we be arrested for animal napping, even if they couldn't find the evidence? As the trainer comes our way, we duck behind a pole.
"Don't move,"
Miri whispers. About 5 minutes later, the trainer disappears into a back room out of view, and we move on to the next cage.
Camels. I love camels. How cool are they that they don't need any water? How cute is that hump?
Not that I would want a hump like that or anything. I snap back to attention as Miri chants the spell, and away they go. Next, we hit the tigers, elephants, zebras, horses, alligators, and llamas, which takes forever. Finally, we're at what I think is the last cage, where there are 2 goats, a mama goat and her baby. Once again, Miri goes through the whole spell, the throwing, yada yada, the cold, the fading. Well, the big goat fades, but the little one doesn't budge. Miri approaches the cage.
"What's wrong, baby goat?"
"Try again," I tell her, already bored. I'm now sitting on the floor, too tired to care about what's been on the floor before me. Miri tries again.
"Be free."
Blah, blah, blah.
"Born."
The goat still doesn't budge.
"Something's not working," Miri says. "I'm going to check it out."
She looks around for a lock, finds it, recites the open sesame spell, and opens the cage.
"Isn't he cute? Hello, adorableness. Why won't you go home?"
She gently pats his head. I approach the door. He is cute. Small, too. He's all white, with a small, wet gray nose and 2 triangular, floppy-looking ears that are pointing to the high ceiling. I bet he'd be great to Mushi. He looks like a teddy bear. Teddy goat. Billy the teddy goat. He looks so cuddly. Probably only a few weeks old.
"Maybe he was born here," I say. "That's why he didn't disappear."
Billy looks up at us and widens his big, dewy eyes.
"Aw,"
Miri and I both murmur. And that's when it happens. Billy bolts, right out of Miri's arms, right between my open legs, and out of the cage, galloping at a speed I would never have believed possible for a goat. A baby lion? Maybe. But a goat? This one is faster than a speeding bullet. As Miri and I watch him in disbelief, Billy the super goat runs straight for the door. The open door.
"Get that goat!"
Miri screams, and we take off. Fine. I'm laughing a bit. I can't help it. But I run after the goat anyway, right through the convention center until I'm outside, wondering which way he went. "Billy's gone," I tell Miri.
"Who's Billy?"
she says, panting.
"We should fly. That will make the goat easier to..."
The broom is no longer where she left it.
"What the?"
"What did you expect to happen on an isolated street in the city?" I scream. Someone is in for a rude shock when they try to sweep their floor.
"There's Billy,"
I say, pointing at the small creature currently licking his hoof. We bolt after him, and he runs, and we chase. We chase him all the way down 39th Street, cringing every time he crosses an avenue, praying he doesn't end up goat cheese. We continue chasing him right to 42nd and 8th, and then right into the...
Oh, no. Not the subway station.
Mary freezes at the landing.
We're not allowed to take the subway so late at night,
she whimpers. We're allowed to go hightailing over Manhattan, but not to take the subway? Does this make sense? I ignore her and take the stairs two at a time, trying to catch up to Billy, the bolting super goat. Come here, Billy, I call, but he doesn't stop. Instead, he runs right under the turnstile. Of course, I don't have my Metro card. Why would I? It's 2 a.m. Zap it around, I tell my ashen-faced sister. She's almost the same color as Billy, who's now calmly licking himself in a very inappropriate way on the other side of the turnstile. Miri does as she's told, and I push through and lunge after Billy. He's faster and takes off as soon as I'm an inch away from grabbing him. Luckily, there are only 2 other people waiting for the train. And then Billy the Super Goat takes a flying leap.
No, Billy, no!
We shriek, directly onto the subway tracks. Our jaws drop in horror, and we peer over the edge. Billy seems to have realized that he might have made a mistake, because he is now bleeding loudly and his little legs are quivering.
We have to get him,
Mary says, and takes a step toward the track. I give her a power block with my arm. Over my dead body are you stepping onto a subway track?
But...
And then we hear it. Oh, yes. The rumble of the swiftly approaching train.
Oh, no,
Mary whimpers. My heart races almost as fast as the oncoming car. As the headlights glare toward us, I see poor Billy, eyes wide and wet, begging us to help. Mary shrieks, reaches her hands toward the train, and yells,
Stop!
Her lips purse. I feel the rush of cold, and the subway grinds to a sudden halt. The station is silent, until Billy bleats. The conductor pops his head out his window.
What the hell? He says. We just lost power.
He spots Billy.
All this because of one little goat?
One little goat, I say, that my father bought for 2 zuzim. Miri starts to cry. I lead my blubbering sister and the sleeping goat she's cradling up the pitch-black stairs. It seems Miri blew out the power in the whole station. Thank goodness for our night vision helmets.
I almost killed you,
Miri tells the goat between sobs. Yes, you did, I say as I finally step into the night. I'm furious. We have no broom, no batteries, no money, and no working subway. And my feet are killing me. Not only are my shoes broken in, but my feet feel broken too. You have to think about the Oh no. I look around. The entire city is dark. As in, cloaked in darkness. As in, all the sparkling lights that normally illuminate the city have either burnt out simultaneously or...
Uh-oh,
Mary squeaks.
Did I?
Yes, Mary, apparently you did. Apparently your little stopping the train tactic blew out all the power in Manhattan. I am so mad, I'm fuming.
Well, what else could I do? What about poor little Billy?
We arrive home 2 hours later. I won't even discuss the bloated, deformed shape of my feet. I'm too angry to talk to my sister. So I leave her and Billy to figure out their sleeping arrangements. I throw the itchy helmet onto the floor and feel my way toward my mom's room. After making sure that she's sleeping soundly, wrapped in her covers, oblivious to the world, I kiss her on the forehead and feel my way back to my room, drop my camouflage outfit on the floor, and slip under the covers. I need to get some sleep. Prom is tomorrow, and I'm going to be so tired, and I'm going to look exhausted, and there's no power, and I don't even know what time it is because my clock isn't working, and please, please, please let everything be better in the morning.